I would like to begin with a scripture in Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53 and 3, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our face from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs." Isn't this a beautiful picture of the Lord? "And carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." You could say that with his stripes we are healed spiritually, but I believe that that is also a physical healing. And aren't you glad the Lord's provision is for us as the entire being,
yes,
both soul and body? The Lord cared about us. He loved us. And what a wonderful plan he made for us. What a beautiful thing to be able to put our soul and our body into his care. I want to ask you today, do you believe the Lord is able to heal today? Do you believe that? I want to ask a closer question then. Do you believe the Lord does heal today?
Yes.
You believe that? Well, we believe he's able, but do we believe that he really does? I believe he does. I've seen the Lord heal many times, and I believe in it. I'd like to turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5 and verse 17. "It came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors out of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them." You notice what it takes to heal? Now there is a natural healing of the body, but divine healing takes the power of the Lord.
Yes.
"And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling of his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." And I want to tell you that our faith moves God.
Yes.
When we have faith in God, it will bring results. "And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this that which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk?
Yes,
now, people have little problem believing in the forgiveness of sin. That's generally accepted by the Christian world,
yes,
so-called. But to believe in divine healing is a greater difficulty, it seems.
Yes.
But Jesus asked the question, whether is easier, to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? For the Lord, both are equally easy. "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon the earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thy house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today." You notice part of Jesus' purpose in healing this man? "That ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon the earth." Now, the Lord sent forth his disciples. He commissioned them to go and preach the gospel. Let's look in Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples, Luke 9 and 1, together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. I want you to notice this. The Lord gave his disciples power and authority to cure diseases. Divine healing must happen because there is authority and power. It is not because there is a wish in our hearts. It is not because we took good care of ourselves, but there is some power and authority required to bring about divine healing. And he sent them to preach the gospel, to preach the kingdom of God, and to heal the sick. You notice these two things went together. When Jesus sent out his disciples and the kingdom of heaven was at hand, and the kingdom of heaven was in a great expansion mode, there were two primary things they were doing. They were preaching the gospel and they were healing the sick. Those two things went together.
Yes.
And today, most of the Christian world has abandoned one of these two very important things. They're going out and preaching the gospel, but they have abandoned the message of healing the sick and the practice of healing the sick. In verse 6, and they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Why do you suppose that divine healing was a part of the gospel outreach? Was it necessary? Was it important? Well, I'll tell you what kind of effect it had on people. Let's read in John chapter 2 and verse 23. John 2 and 23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did.
Yes.
There was something about the working of miracles, the healing of bodies, that inspired people's faith.
Yes.
And caused the gospel to have a fertile ground in which to grow. It is an important part of our teaching today that the enemy is attacking. The enemy is trying to undermine this because he knows that it is so convincing, that it is so powerful, that if he can take it away from us as a people, he's gone a long way to taking away that fertile ground for the gospel seeds to take root and grow. Do you remember the story of Dorcas? That woman who was full of good deeds, made the clothes for the poor, and they were mourning her death. And Peter came and prayed for her and raised her from the dead. And it says in Acts chapter 9, verse 42, it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord.
Yes.
This miracle, this faith in God, helped convince people of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you see why the devil wants to attack our trust in the Lord? He doesn't want this kind of evidence to come behind us.
Yes.
Let's read in Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16 and verse 17. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, this is one of the signs of them that believe. It's evidence. These folks are true believers of Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage us not to tamper with the evidence. Let's not do anything that would take away a sign that we are a believer in Jesus Christ. Let's not do anything that would take away the glory that belongs to God and give that glory to a doctor instead. I know that the medical world can do some good. I know that there are good-intentioned people out there doing their best to try to help folks. And we can appreciate that. But I want to tell you, God does not need doctors to heal people. I bought a Ford truck and discovered there was a problem with the engine. Now I want you to picture this. Suppose I took my Ford truck to the Ford dealership. If there's anybody that ought to know how to fix my truck, you would think they'd know how at the Ford dealership. Those mechanics are factory trained. They have access to all the proper tools. In fact, Ford was the maker of the truck. Makes sense to take it to the Ford dealership, doesn't it?
Yes.
Suppose I went to the Ford dealership and I took my young grandson with me and I said, now, my grandson doesn't have the tools to work on the truck, but he's going to be the one doing the work. He's going to be using your tools. He's going to be using your shop, and you stand by because he's going to be the one making the decisions on what needs to happen to make this truck run right. Do you think I'd get some good cooperation out of the folks at the Ford dealership? You know, people are taking that same approach with their bodies. To trust God for the healing of our bodies is so vastly superior to what man is able to do. It's not that man has bad intentions or man isn't trying, but man is man and limited in understanding, in capability. And they do make misdiagnoses. And sometimes they kill people by mistake. But God was the creator.
Yes.
And he knows how to take care of us.
Yes.
And my trust is so much more in him.
Amen.
I'm so glad we have that opportunity.
Yes.
We don't have any example in the New Testament of the beloved physician Luke practicing his medicine after he was called to follow Jesus. We don't have any example in the New Testament of the apostles getting together and going on a medical mission. None.
Yes.
Instead, these signs shall follow them that believe. They laid hands on people and people were healed. They prayed for people. They didn't go operating on people and handing out medicine. But they obeyed the word of God. There is a scripture that tells us what to do when we are sick.
Yes.
Can somebody tell me what it is? Call for the elders of the church. And can you tell me what book that's in?
James.
All right, let's turn to James 5 and verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. It doesn't say let him call for the doctors or let him go to the pharmacy. It says let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It instructs us to anoint with oil.
Yes.
In ancient times, anointing a guest that came to your house was a way of bestowing honor upon that guest. Anointing someone who was to be king was a way of recognizing there's authority here. You might even say it was like a putting authority on that person. This person is now king of the land. So anointing had a special meaning. And I believe that symbolically it has a special meaning when we anoint with oil. The power is not in the oil. The power is in the obedience
yes.
to the word of God. Laying on of hands was a way of bestowing blessings. When Israel was near the end of his life, Joseph, his son, brought two of Joseph's sons to Israel for Israel to bestow a blessing on Joseph's two sons. And Israel did so by laying hands on the sons.
Yes.
The laying on of hands was a way of bestowing a blessing. Jesus touched Peter's mother-in-law when she was sick, a fever. He touched her and healed her. And she got up and ministered to them. When Jesus encountered the deaf man with an impediment of speech, Jesus touched the man and healed them. There is something significant about the laying on of hands. It's not just done as a show or a ritual, you might say. I believe there is something significant to it. And then there were times that Jesus did not touch a person to heal them. He simply spoke the word.
Yes.
And the person was healed. We don't always have to lay hands on someone or anoint them with oil for there to be healing.
Yes.
We can, through the authority and power of God, we can pray.
Yes.
And God will heal. Our decision to trust in the Lord for healing is not based on finances. Right? It's not a financial decision. It is not based on the simplicity of the procedure. Now listen, if you would, I love you, if you would just go to the doctor and the procedure is so simple, 15 minutes, and this will be taken care of. You ever have a loved one that cares about you and just wants to kind of help you in life? Just 15 minutes. So simple. Won't you just do it? The simplicity of the procedure is not what motivates us to either trust the Lord or put our trust in man. It is not the availability of the medicine. Listen, there are folks that come from the Middle East. They come from a lot of parts of the world to the United States for the healthcare system here.
Yes.
They come here to get medicine. We are here. We have access to this. It is not the availability or the ease of the medicine that makes the difference in whether or not we trust the Lord, is it? It shouldn't be. And here's one that's even tougher. It is our decision to trust in the Lord is not based on what the law says.
Yes.
I remember there would be sweepstakes rules. And in the fine print down there, it would say, void where prohibited by law. My faith in God is not void where prohibited by law. And the law of the land is not the governing decision on whether or not I put my trust in the Lord.
Yes.
Instead, it's based on what the Scripture teaches. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 12. Mark chapter 6, verse 12. And they went out and preached the gospel, and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils, and anointed with oil many that were sick, and healed them. This is part of the evidence of them that believe. One of the signs that would follow those that believe. I think it's a great privilege to partake of this healing.
Yes.
To obey the Scripture. Trusting the Lord for our healing is a great privilege. I'd like to share a testimony with you. Some of you know Eddie from Honduras, young man. Eddie was at the mission, and he was sick with a high fever. We don't know why, but we do know that in Honduras, there are a lot of mosquito-borne illnesses, and malaria and dengue are common. Well, Eddie was sick with a high fever, and he was anointed. Hands were laid on in accordance with the Scripture. I was a witness. I was there. As the brother offered prayer, my hand was on the man's forehead, and I felt the skin temperature immediately drop. Never experienced anything like that in my life. Immediately, it dropped. And he got up and he was fine. And a group of us, we were going to take the visitors from the States to tour the island. And I thought, Eddie will want to stay here and rest. No, Eddie wanted to go with us. So he went and enjoyed his day on the island with us. He was fine. He was instantly, completely healed from high fever. I believe in divine healing. And I cannot remember the number of times Lenita has been in a very low condition, sometimes at the point of death.
Yes.
And God lifted her up time and time and time again.
Yes.
I believe in the healing power of God.
Yes.
I've seen it. Well, there are some things that can hinder healing.
Yes.
You remember how these disciples went out and healed people? They were given power and authority to do so. So if we lose power and authority out of our lives due to spiritual problems, we also lose power and authority to get divine healing.
Yes.
To be able to heal people. So we need to be careful that we are living in accordance with God's word, or it will bring a hindrance to people being healed. Groups of people can have the power and authority go out of them as a group. I'm talking about spiritual groups, fellowships of churches. They can lose power and authority and lose divine healing out of their group.
Yeah.
Unbelief can also hinder divine healing. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13 and verse 54. When he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, "Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things?" And they were offended in him. Unbelief. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house." Notice verse 58. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Why don't we see more healings among us? What kind of society do we live in? Unbelief, isn't it? The atheism rate in the United States has really climbed. People are skeptical. People are unbelievers in this country. And I believe that can have an effect on us as a people. Even though we still believe, Jesus didn't do many mighty works because of the unbelief in that area. And I believe this can be an influencing factor in how much we outward manifestation of miracles that we see. If my grandson was there working on my vehicle in the Ford dealership, and I said to the mechanics, "Now, if for some reason my son can't get this fixed, I have a backup plan. I want you folks to step in and actually fix it for me." Well, we can have backup plans. We can decide that we're going to let the doctor have first shot. And then if the doctor doesn't work, then we're just at the mercy of the Lord. It's in God's hands now. That will hinder God's willingness to bring us divine healing. I believe our philosophy should be like that of Job. He said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." When the Lord sees we're willing to go all the way, that no matter what it is, "Lord, I'm going to obey what your word says.
Yes.
My trust is fully in you." That opens the door for divine healing to take place.
Yes.
You remember in James it said, confessing his faults.
Yes.
Sometimes there needs to be a confession take place. Sometimes there's some spiritual preparation, some spiritual clearing that needs to take place in order for the healing to take place.
Yes.
I'm not saying this is always the case. I'm just giving a list of things that can interfere with divine healing.
Yes.
As Dan said, saints die too. There comes a time we leave the world. And the Lord did not promise us that every single one of us is going to die of old age.
Yes.
Nobody's going to die in a car accident. Nobody's going to die of a sickness. The Lord didn't promise that.
That's right.
Some of us will be taken in some of these other ways. But I believe we can trust the Lord in a time like that too, don't you? There is no better place to put our trust. I believe that trusting the Lord for the healing of our bodies is the Bible way. I believe in it fully. I've seen people do it, and I've seen Lanita doing it as well. I admire that. And that's what I want to do with my own life. Trust the Lord all the way. And I don't believe it is something that's optional, that I can just take or leave whatever part of that teaching of the Bible that I want to. But instead, I think it's more like the song number 121 says. Would somebody get that song number 121? I believe it says something like, every word thy mouth has spoken is essential to our life. Can somebody find that phrase?
It's verse 3.
Every word thy mouth hath spoken is essential to our life. All thy mandates love betoken. To oppose them is but strife. We want to obey the Lord, don't we?
Yes.
We want to please Him. We want to open the opportunity for Him to work with us spiritually and physically.
Yes.
And for us to do that, we have to obey Him all the way. It's a great privilege. May God bless you.